You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on another Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Good, man. I feel like we should have Mike with us on this one. Should I leave his Facebook profile open or Twitter profile open
so he can be with us as we talk about this one? Nah. I should have had Mike host. I should have been just like, no, you know what? You take this one.
We can't change it up, man. We got too much chemistry after all these. What is this? Prospect Preview number 25?
This one's number 27.
Seven. So, yeah, we can't change it up now.
Three more left. We've got.
Can't change it up now.
We've got the Rays, which we're doing right now, the Blue Jays, and the Rangers. So.
Okay. All right.
But, you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. If you'd like to make fun of Mike in the Rays system, you can reach him on Twitter at MikeWarnerFWFB. So let's just jump right into the Rays system. They made a big trade.
They did.
You know, it happened. I don't even know if we talked about Jose De Leon when he was...
We did.
So we did talk about him when he was on the Dodgers. Let's just briefly mention him now, though. You know, he's now in the Rays. Does that change his value for you at all?
It does, actually. I think he still starts the season in the minor leagues, just like he was going to do with the Dodgers. Obviously, he has a easier route. Well, maybe not, because the Dodgers' rotation is so fragile. But I still think he comes up pretty quickly in the season. But I knocked him down a little bit. I gave him a mid-rotation arm ceiling now, just because he was a low-end two for me, as we discussed with the Dodgers. I like the strikeouts that he's going to provide. He gets a lot of swings and misses, but he's moving to the division with, and perhaps I'm putting too much stock in this, but he's moving to a division full of bad ballparks to pitch in. Yankee Stadium, Camden Yards, Fenway Park, Toronto. And I think his home run tendency might run into some trouble there.
I think I mentioned this when we talked about the trade on an episode. You know, I think it was on a Monday episode with you, me, and Mike, and I can't remember who the guest was. But I am pretty much all out on Jose De Leon. And it has nothing necessarily to do with his talent, but I hate the switch from the National League to the American League, the National League West to the American League East.
Yeah, that's the worst jump you can make, I think, for a pitcher.
And so, like you said, I think his short-term value takes a little bit of a boost, because I think it is easier for him to get to a major league rotation this year. And I don't think there's going to be a ton necessarily that holds him back. You know, I mean, Matt Andrees, Alex Cobb's, you know, last tendon in his elbow aren't really going to hold him back. But long-term, I just don't like the pitching spot. You know, it's not a team that's necessarily going to give a ton of run support in wins league. So I actually sold him I sold the only share of him I had. So
and I don't own him anywhere, which is kind of sad.
I literally sold him an hour before the trade happened.
Oh, nice. Good timing.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since we're talking to the Rays here, I would slot De Leon as my third guy in this system. He'd be third for me behind Adames and Honeywell. So, and then that's still a good piece, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. But
it's a little bit as less exciting than it was a month ago.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other guys who are close to the major leagues. Who you got?
Well, I think Brent Honeywell is relatively close. I mean, he was in Double-A last year for 10 starts. Probably goes to Double-A to start the year. I'm not entirely sure he makes the major league, especially with De Leon entering the organization. So he probably doesn't see Tampa this year. But I like what he does, man. He gets a lot of – I kind of wrote him off. Not wrote him off, but I downgraded him years ago because he got so much hype because he had a gimmicky – a screwball.
A screwball.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome pitch, by the way.
People cling to, like – you know what I mean, though? Like, people cling to unique things, and they rise people up prospect boards just because they have one unique – not even the skill that really makes them better or worse. It's just a unique skill. And I was wrong about that. I mean, he's a better pitcher than that. I need to look past that. I mean, in two separate levels, he had posted under a 2.4 ERA in both of them, over a strikeout per inning. I'm really, really a fan of Honeywell, what he does. He's a really good command guy. Five pitches he throws to strikes, plus fastball in the mid-90s that with movement. He gets a lot of weak contact, so he's not just a strikeout guy. A really good feel for a changeup. Obviously, the screwball that we talked about, which is probably his second or third pitch. Curveball that he throws. And he has a cutter that he uses to get lefties out, too. So he's got a deep arsenal. Can't go wrong with that. Every pitch is at least probably average. I'm not sure if any of them are plus. Maybe the fastball is because of the movement. And the screwball is probably a plus just because you never see it. You know, it'd be the first time a lot of those hitters have seen a pitch like that. Question the delivery. He is an athlete, and he does repeat it pretty well. I just don't know the mechanics. He kind of yanks himself to the right, as my favorite scouting term. He has a head whack, they call it, and I love it. Basically what that means, jerks his head, pulls the shoulder down, hard to throw strikes when you're falling over to the left side. You know what I mean? So it's had a little bit injury scare last year, a little forearm soreness, but came back, pitched well, proved he was healthy. So I'm a big Brent Honeywell fan, and I'm just not sure he reaches the majors this year.
Okay. What about Willy Adames? Because, I mean, he's got to be getting pretty close now.
Yeah, he's probably in the same boat. I think he starts the season and probably comes up in September if the Rays want to play that. The Rays are extremely monotonous when it comes to their position players, unless they get you to sign an extension. If Adames signs an extension, he'll be up tomorrow. But one of those cheap Longoria deals, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, assuming he doesn't, assuming his agent is woke, as the kids say, and doesn't let him sign one of those deals, he won't be up this year, which is fine because he's not ready yet. I do like Adames, though. He's one of my favorite shortstop prospects in the minors. Kind of gets lost in the pile of shortstops that there are. There's a ton of them out there. He profiles very similar to me as a Gleyber Torres. He's going to be in that range. He's a right around Franklin Barreto for me, above a J.P. Crawford, right around Ahmed Rosario or the Mets. They're all in kind of a group there. I'm a big fan of Willy Adames. I got him in the David Price trade. He's the shortstop of the future, obviously. He's going to hit in the middle of the order, which is nice. I think he's going to have more power than all those guys listed, but he's not going to be as his batting averages will be in about the 270, 280 range. Good to strong OBPs. Plus arm. Really good athlete. Really good character guy. He's a leader. He speaks multiple languages, which is unique and nice for a kid of this age. Plus grades for the hit and raw power. 15 to 20 home runs probably is what he projects to, but he's going to hit a lot of line drives, a lot of doubles. He covers the plate really well, and he's going to stick it short. Is there anything not to like in that profile? Because I don't see it. I'm really a fan of Honeywell, and I'm really a fan of Adames. So the Rays are two for two in my book.
What about a guy that I'm kind of a fan of that I don't think really gets enough bub is Casey Gillespie?
I hate him. I'm just kidding. I don't. Oh, he went to.
I was like, you're going to hurt my heart.
No, I went to Illinois State in the Missouri Valley, and he went to Wichita State, so they're our rivals, so I don't like him. I'm just kidding. Obviously, his his brother Connor is the best postseason hitter to ever walk the earth.
That's right. He's got royal blood.
And no, but I think for a first base bat, I think there's some upside here. I think he could come up in the majors this year. Toward the end, again, it just depends how the Rays want to play it. He doesn't need, like, if they wanted to wait another year, that's perfectly fine. We think the Rays are going to sign Chris Carter, I believe. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if they do and trade Chris Carter, maybe.
But maybe the fact that they haven't points to they think maybe Gillespie would be ready. It's not something I'd necessarily thought about before we started just discussing this. But maybe their hesitation to sign a guy like Carter or Napoli or Logan Morrison or someone like that to man first base for this year points to a strong belief. Because, I mean, I think they really like this kid.
They should. I mean, he's done nothing but hit, and it's what he's supposed to do as a first base prospect. You have to hit, and that's what he's done. Gets on base at a .388 clip. You cannot argue with that. I mean, with Brad Miller moving to second, I mean, it's not an absolute unforeseen thing that Gillespie gets some time at first base this year. Like I said, the Rays kind of play it slow. He's not very athletic. Most of his power is to the pull side, but I think the upside is 25 home runs, and I think the upside is .270 average with .330, .340 OBP. And that plays, especially with the way the first base spot is now. So that's
especially with the way, not only the way first base spot is, but the way first base is kind of shaping up in the minor leagues. Not a ton of major first base talent that is at least close right now. I mean, other than Bellinger.
Trey Mancini's up there, but yeah, I'd take Gillespie over these guys.
I'm not a Mancini believer.
Reese Hoskins from the Phillies, but same story. I'll take Gillespie over him too. So I mean, you're right in that sense that it's Bellinger and then the rest. I guess here's an interesting question for you. They're both probably going to be at AAA next year. Who do you like better, Dominic Smith or Casey Gillespie?
I'll take Casey Gillespie because
me too.
From my first baseman, the majority of the time.
Yep, I'm relying. I need 25 homers. I need 25 homers from my first baseman. And yes, I agree with you.
You know, Smith will be a better defensive player, which, you know, means, you know, he may not ever, like, leave first base in terms of losing plate appearances, but he's never going to be an exciting fantasy player, much better real life guy.
Yeah. Another thing I forgot to mention about Gillespie, he's a switch hitter, which is kind of nice. You know, the power and patience are good skills to have, and he's got that. He does strike out a little bit too much, but I feel like
I just
put that on repeat for minor league prospects because that's everybody. But I like Gillespie. He's going to have a little competition at first base, though, I think. Jake Bowers.
I've heard they're already moving Bowers into the outfield.
He's kind of playing both. He's athletic enough to play the outfield, so he is, just because they can have him and Gillespie on the same team in the minors, double A and triple A. I do think Bowers is a plus defensive first baseman, so I don't know how much that matters. He's a plus defender, and like I said, the only reason why he's playing outfield is because Gillespie's presence on the roster too. So any other time, Bowers would be at first, and he'd be really good there. He can handle the corner outfield, though, which is nice, so that kind of might put him in a utility role, kind of like, you know, Brandon Moss plays of all the corners in first base. Mitch Moreland's done some right field, I believe, in the past. Like, he could kind of be player of that ilk. The question for me, I don't know how much power Bowers has. I don't feel comfortable projecting him to hit more than 15 homers a year, but he's going to put up strong OBPs, and that's the Rays mantra. And he's going to be strong average. Well, okay, what's strong average? Is .270 strong average? Probably not. .270
is .265, I believe, is kind of league average.
Okay, so he'll be a little bit above average, and he's going to hit a lot of doubles. And he's got a really nice left-handed swing. I love watching him. He's going to chip in. He's not going to be a zero in the steals either, but you know, you're not going to draft him for the 6 to 8 steals he'll give you, but he'll give you some.
My only hesitation with saying that, I'll take Casey Gillespie all the way over him as a first baseman in Tampa Bay is the fact that the Rays did just keep James Loney on the roster in spite of the fact that he had nothing left offensively.
Logan Morrison, same thing.
Just a defensive guy. So, but I think the fact that they're playing him in the outfield shows their commitment to Gillespie in terms of first base and with their thought process at least. So, I mean, I like Bowers. I think he's an interesting guy, but I think he, in terms of fantasy, he's better suited for the outfield. In terms of what they are doing as a team, is probably going to end up there.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing you need to know, too, is Gillespie is going to be 25 next year,
mm-hmm.
and Bowers is going to be 21.
Yeah.
Or 22. Sorry, Bowers will be 22 next year. Math is hard. So, no, he'll be 21. He just turned 21 in October. And I'm going to look it up again. Gillespie's
23, going to be 24. Or no, he is 24. He
just turned 24. So, I mean, that's still the age difference, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that matters a lot. So
happy birthday, Casey.
Yeah, he just turned. Yeah, there you go. It's your boy's birthday. What do you know?
let's move on to some other guys. Anybody else that's close to the majors that's interesting to you?
I don't know if interesting is the right word, but Daniel Robertson is around still. He's probably only a utility guy or a really low-end shortstop option, but he's there. He's kind of gone backwards offensively. He does walk, which is nice. It fits the Rays thing. He makes a lot of contact, although last year kind of contact rate kind of fell back. Slightly above average bat, probably, but the glove is – he's going to be a utility guy. They're kind of already paving that path for him because Adames is catching him. Adames is younger than him. He's catching him in the minors. Probably play together at AAA, to be honest, this year, unless Tim Beckham gets in the way, but we don't mm-hmm. see that happening. I still have a little bit of hope for Tim Beckham. I guess I should say that quietly.
You shouldn't, really.
But Robertson, though, is he's a really solid real-life major league piece, but in the fantasy realm, his defense, his plus defensive skills at multiple positions doesn't really translate to anything except for playing time and slightly league average bat with not consistent at bats isn't worth it much. So keep the name in mind in case of massive injuries strike, but he could be somebody that's there. Shortstop is all of a sudden deep position in this organization, and it wasn't a few years ago.
And Willie it's also Adames, a deep position in major leagues and minor leagues right now.
That's very true. I mean, we talked about already, Willie Adames is in this organization. We talked about him. He's the no-shit guy for the future. Daniel Robertson is going to be there. Another guy, I guess I'll touch on him now because we're kind of done with the high-impact guys. Adrian Rondon, 18-year-old from the Dominican Republic, power first. Crushes lefties right now. He's super young now, so he'll be better than that. He'll be better than a platoon bat, but he's a power first, arm strength shortstop. So he's keep him in mind in deeper leagues.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy, Lucius Fox.
Giants traded Batman's main man.
Yeah, I'm not a big hit tool guy on Fox. I don't really trust it, but I do think the steals will play if he gets on base enough. Might play center field in the future, but he's a guy to know. Jake Cronenworth is exact opposite of Fox. I like the hit tool, but I like nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a high contact guy like that. But those are all just the shortstops.
Yeah,
that's kind of crazy.
Could mean that some of them get moved in other deals. We'll see. And some of those guys are pretty far away. Let's talk about some guys who are still though a little bit closer. I'm going to try to pronounce this: Chi Wei Hu.
As good as a guess as me, man. Best pitch, he's got two variations of the changeup. One of them is a straight palm ball. The other one's a changeup. He throws a lot of strikes. The fastball is low 90s. It's not going to blow anybody away by any means, but he's a guy that's going to work the corners. I think he's a mid-rotation arm. He might fall back to fourth starter just because I don't know if the strikeouts are going to play. He gets ground balls. There's a slight ground ball tilt, not as much as you would think or hope. To be safe, I'll drop a fourth starter ceiling on him. But he's a guy. He's got a lot of pitches. I like that. He's interesting backstory. I believe he's from Taiwan.
Yeah,
he's from Taiwan. So it's always nice when the Rays of all teams are adding people from Taiwan, but actually, they got him from the Twins, so that makes a little bit more sense, I guess. But the Rays don't have a reason I say that is the Rays don't really have a presence in Asia. I think the next Asian guy to play for the Rays will be the first,
you mean as like a homegrown kind of minor leaguer?
Well, that might
be right, but I mean, they did have
Ikumura.
And they had Kei Gawa.
Did they?
For a minute after the Yankees spent a bunch of money on him and then let him go.
Yeah, well, I like him a little bit there. He's a nice arm. Their first-round pick this year, interesting guy, Josh Lowe. projects as either a center fielder or a third baseman. That's a strange combo, right?
Yeah.
Third base defense is pretty terrible, but he has plus speed, plus raw power, and he draws walks at a really, really good rate. The interesting comment I read about him, he is one of the farthest players away from where they are now to what his ultimate ceiling could be. So, in high school, he was a two-way player, so he didn't just concentrate on hitting or pitching, because he did both. He played infield and outfield, so he's lost a little bit of development time playing one of those spots, but he played both. I really like the power and the speed. Like I said, they're both above average, borderline plus, to be honest, with upside. The hit tool is the key, and the defense, but I think he ultimately ends up in center. But as an 18-year-old out of Georgia high school in rookie ball, you have to love the 374 OBP. So that's going to hopefully play. The swing is kind of a mess, but I have faith in this one. Hopefully his development goes better than the last Rays draft pick I loved that was athletic, which was Garrett Whitley.
Yeah, I was going to ask about him.
I still like Whitley. He's probably still in my Rays top 10, just because I can't quit the athleticism.
No one was more stoked than Mike Warner.
He should have been. I was happy when the Rays drafted him for Mike, because I thought Whitley, you know, he's from New York. So I always like those cold weather kids, they call them, because they finally get to come down and play baseball all year round. And so they expect him to take off. I mean, Trout was from New Jersey. That's the extreme example, obviously. But, you know, you like players that grow up in the northern, especially arms, because they're not used as much. You don't play baseball all year round in New York. You know, you wish you could. But Whitley, though, is an interesting guy. I think he's a corner outfielder. I think he's a right fielder because of his arm. The hit tool, again, that's the key. I think it projects his average. The plate approach isn't strong right now. It needs to be better. He chases a lot of bad balls, makes a lot of weak contact. I mean, the OBP numbers don't look as bad as what I'm saying. He's not a very disciplined hitter. He'll hit the pitcher's pitch. He'll get himself out, and he's got too much ability. He needs to harness the power. I've watched a lot of video of him on some of your YouTube and all that scouting and other just sources I keep seeing, and he gets himself out a lot. A lot of weak ground balls he rolls over and stuff like that. Yeah, he had 90 points higher OBP and really strong walk rate, but imagine what it would be if he was more in control of the swing. 75 strikeouts and 250 at-bats, that's not good. The speed still played, 21 steals, 7 triples, so you can hint at more power. You see 12 doubles, you see more power tapping into the frame. I still think he's a 15-15 guy long term, and I still think he's a 260-270 hitter. So I still think the value's there. It's just going to take a really long time. And there's nothing wrong with that if you can prepare for it. If you have the time on your minor league team to do that, then you still should be happy to have Whitley on your club, but it's going to be a while. So
okay. Did you talk about Jacob Ferrier yet?
I did not. I was going to lump him in with Guerrieri, but we'll go to Ferrier. He's an interesting arm. He was in the top 10 in AAA in strikeouts last year, 157. 157 strikeouts in the minors, I'm sorry, not just AAA. It was in the top 10. The stuff isn't there for me. I think he's a mid-rotation, probably a four guy. The fastball, 89-92. Plus changeup, which is nice. I always like changeup guys. Identical arm speed as the fastball, according to Baseball America. The curveball and slider are a little bit behind. They're both below average right now. He needs one of them to step up. He's got one of those 12-6 curveballs that I love, but needs one of them to step up. Hopefully that happens for him this year. Taylor Guerrieri is a guy that I've kind of fallen off of.
I thought you have to at this point.
Yeah, the numbers aren't there. You can only talk somebody up. I mean, if you watch him pitch, the stuff flashes. Strikeouts, though, only 89 in 146 innings. I mean, that's not – you obviously don't just be like a guy that scouts the stat line, but like that jumps off the stat line. Like,
well, and a huge loss in velocity.
Yes, the stuff ticked backwards. It's not a really good profile that I'm betting on, and I actually think he's a reliever. So, but they were linked together, him and Gary – him in for Feria for so long, so it's worth knowing how different in the last year that their development has taking themselves.
Mm-hmm. What about Ryan Stanek?
Power arm out of the bullpen, and I think we've talked about this enough, but that has some value. I don't know if he's ever a closer, but the Rays do. The Rays are one of the best teams at finding the random guy that's going to get 30 saves and then disappear. I think Brad Boxberger was the latest creation of that. I think he's obviously still around, but he hasn't been relevant since he had that 30 save season. Who else did they have? They had Troy Percival closing for a while for them. That was good. Who else did
they? They had Fernando Rodney at one point, right?
Yeah, he was pretty good. They had Kyle Farnsworth, I think, in the back end mm-hmm. of their bullpen for a while. They do a really nice job of finding closers, so it's really hard to project a team like the Rays like that. But Stanek gets he got lit up in the Futures game. Those really hard, scrapes 100 miles an hour with a big ground ball tilt, but bullpen profile, so don't get too excited.
All right, anybody else worth talking about?
There's a few. I touched on Rondon already. Jamie Schultz is a guy with a plus-plus fastball, but needs a slider to step forward. It's probably slightly above average now. I want it to be plus, and then he can be a high-leverage bullpen arm. As of now, he's still in the rotation. He touched up to 99 as a starter, which is kind of insane. But he doesn't really have another pitch. He can miss bats with his two, so hopefully he can find success in a future bullpen role. There's a lot of young arms in this organization, assuming they keep him and don't trade him. So he might be a guy that finds himself into the seventh or eighth inning. So keep that name close to you as you look for deeper options in hold leagues. Two really late sleepers that I like, Jesus Sanchez.
I was just about to ask about him.
He's a pop-up guy. He's showing some power. 1997 birthday, if you want to feel old.
thanks.
Yeah. His offensive ability is what is his calling card. He fared extremely well in some short season leagues. He's probably going to be in the Midwest League next year, so hopefully I'll get to see him when he rolls through Kane County. Plus power, though. That's the thing. He's really big muscular dude. He covers the plate well. Like I said, the power is the tool. He's going to post strong averages, though, I think, because he's a smart hitter with a plan. He's probably not going to play center field. He probably shifts over to left or right. So that's it's a good player to know so far away. He's an international free agent in 2014. The Rays gave him $400,000 to sign. Like I said, he's a big strength and hit tool guy. Left-handed swinger. Ideal frame, 6'2", 190. Going to put on more muscle. Really good in two rookie levels last year, so he's a name to watch. And a completely off-the-radar sleeper, Chris Betts. Was a catching prospect drafted pretty high by the Rays last year. In the same draft as Whitley, so 2 years ago. Had Tommy John surgery. They've eased him back as a DH. I loved the hit tool pre-draft. It hasn't really bounced back as well as I've hoped. It's been pretty bad since he came back. But he's a guy I'm not giving up on. If you want to, you don't have to own him in any leagues because, I mean, his career batting average is not good. It's 179 in the minors right now in only 39 games, but the OBP is strong. And I think when he gets his legs back underneath him, he's only 19, so I think when he gets his legs back underneath him, he's going to hit. So he's a guy to keep in mind. Chris Betts, if you're in those deep AL-only formats, looking for an arm. Hunter Wood's a good arm, probably a bullpen arm for me long-term. High leverage, though. Ryan Bolt is a good name. Kevin Padlo, they got from the Rockies. Is a third baseman that can hit. So keep him in mind, too. But the Rays system is good. They've had a rash of bad drafts recently that have kind of left some holes in the talent pool. But I like what they did last year's draft, 2015 draft. I liked it at the time. Unfortunately, the two top guys, Whitley and Betts, haven't turned out as well as I initially thought they would. But don't sleep on them. There's a couple other guys in the system too. Joe McCarthy is a good bat only. He's a really good college prospect. Good OBP guy, hasn't translated, but can play first base in the outfield. Mini Jake Bowers, if you like Jake Bowers, you can go get a little miniature version of him. But he's older, though, too, so keep that in mind. You're older being a college kid, but system is okay. Any thoughts on anybody, Justin?
No, I mean, I think we've pretty thoroughly covered the guys I like. I'm definitely interested to go maybe look a little bit deeper into Lowe, because that's, he's very far away, but I love the upside that you're talking about.
The upside is immense, and that's half the battle. I guess another guy that I overlooked, I apologize, Justin Williams. Big power-hitting, well, future power-hitting corner outfielder. I like the frame again, 62-15. Former Diamondback prospect. The hit tool is better than I initially thought. He's put up some strong batting averages, hovered around the 300 level quite a bit now. He's actually over a 300 career hitter in the minors. The power is going to, he's going to grow into the power. He's going to give up some average, but he could be a 280, 20 home run guy. That's valuable. So Justin Williams, keep that a name. It's an easy name to remember for you too, so it's a bonus.
It's a fantastic name.
Sure.
All right, that is going to wrap us up. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. You can email the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. If you give us a 5-star review, we will try to make sure you get into a listener league or eligible for other prizes later in the off season. And as I mentioned on the last prospect minute, I think there's a little bit of chatter about potentially doing maybe a paid league with the staff of Friends Fantasy Benefits. So, I haven't even really broached it with the entire staff yet. But if you're interested in something like that, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Maybe if we get 8 staff members and seven listeners in a paid league, and have a little yearly kind of Royal Rumble with the staff. I think that might be interesting.
So what does the loser have to do? We got to figure out something for the last place guy. They need a penalty,
maybe,
right?
Maybe he needs to edit all the podcasts.
Well, you're so good at that, though.
Yeah. I'm almost in triple digits, and we're recording this on January 31st, so I'm almost to triple digits for the year.
Well, if we pick up those prospect positional pods, we'll just add a little one more to the pile.
There you go. All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.